You're listening to ESPN 97.5, Houston's only FM sports station.
One home for all professional sporting activities.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Presented by Rice University, Jones Graduate School of Business MBA program. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for. Barry, Nick, and Joel ready to go. Lots of good stuff on the agenda, including a special guest.
A couple.
That's right. Two special guests in the 3 o'clock hour you won't want to miss. At least one of them you might want to video stream.
Me?
And in the process of all of that, take it all in, because as good as it probably will be, she'll probably be signed to an exclusive deal next week with somebody else. So we're all here present and accounted for. What's up, fellas?
What's up? How are you?
All good, man. All good. Have your fun. Get it out of the way, because you can't stop giggling like a little child. So
come on, man. Oh, my God. I'm not going to.
So you won't tell the people, so I will. In the process of setting up, I was trying to get everything set up and stood up and tried to sit down real quick and almost lost my chair.
You almost
slipped
ate
out
it
from under me, and I almost ate
you
it.
You almost ate it. It's
and
all good,
it's just
man.
The nonstop comedy event of the year.
Oh, my God.
I laughed pretty hard when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Barry hasn't stopped laughing.
I know.
Oh, God. That was beautiful. Oh,
It could have been worse. So you could have actually fell.
The landing was safe, but thank God we have a brick wall behind us.
At least
so
you didn't fall. Like, you stood the whole time, but it was like...
I literally hit stop streaming.
Did you?
30 seconds before it happened.
Oh, you bastard.
And I love you for that, Nick. Thank you.
So that didn't get recorded?
Mm-mm.
Oh,
not documented.
God.
The audio should have when I hit the brick wall.
Oh,
I heard it. I heard it. Believe me, I heard it.
That wall is solid.
Oh, my God. I'm good. I'm gonna. Joel got mad at me for laughing, rightfully so. Because anytime if you're in that situation where you're the one that misses the chair and then stumbles and hits the back wall, everyone else is
you don't
gonna
get
laugh
mad at the other person
no,
for laughing.
Yeah, oh,
no,
I would
you
be,
don't.
I would be so mad at him right now if that was me. I'd be like, oh, you think that's funny? I could have broke my neck, bitch. Like,
or it would have been like, you laugh for about 10, 15 seconds, you all right, bro, or something like that.
Nah,
but no, when it keeps going, you're like, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that I would agree with that. When it keeps going.
Right.
Oh, my God, that was so funny. I was not expecting that.
Neither was I, honestly.
What the hell? Right before we hit the air, I'm just sad it didn't get streamed, but that's okay. It's probably for the best. I went to the game last night.
I saw that.
Yeah. I was. There was a lot going on last night. A lot to talk about. None of it has to do with the game. Although it was a good game to go to. It was very busy. I just have a lot of shots I need to shoot right now.
When you told me you were going to the game, I knew someone was going to be made fun of, I swear. I knew you were going to find someone to pick on, and I'm just curious who's the victim this
Somebody
time.
Asked me, they were like, "What are you like on something?" Because my Twitter, I was very active. You know, usually when I go to the games, I'm 50% into the game. Yeah, you might, if you find out I'm at the game, it wouldn't hurt to maybe hit me up on Twitter, follow me. We have a good time, but first things first, let's get this out of the way right now. There doesn't need to be 4 first pitches. I bitched about this before. Yeah. That's a first pitch, second, third, and fourth pitch. It's not a first pitch. You don't get to throw out the first pitch 4 times. That's throwing out 4 pitches. And they had the first one, which should have been the end of it, but they had like a 103-year-old lady.
It was Brent Strom's mother-in-law.
Was it?
Yeah.
She was the best one.
Did you see someone else tweet her spin rate was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because it was Brent Strom's mother-in-law.
She was the best. She was the best one. Which, yeah, I didn't realize it was Brent Strom's mother-in-law, but that makes sense now.
Yep.
She was way better than the rest of them. The last guy was pretty darn good as well. But I think four first pitches is a bit excessive. You tend to take the luster off of it. You tend to take the specialness of it when you have four of the same thing.
Yep.
Like, those four people should have had their own night.
You have enough home games. You have, what, 81 home games?
Yeah.
You have enough time that you could work them all in, I'm sure.
Those four people, I mean, like, if you think about that, if you're running out there, if you're running four people all night, you had 12 people throw out the first pitch. I mean, Nick, what's 81 times four?
Dang it. 324.
Damn.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Boom.
Look at you. I'm so proud of you. 324 first pitches. In an 81-game home season, home schedule. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't add up. I think we have to stop the second pitch, third pitch, and beyond. It just should be one person. That's number one. Number two, I never, ever, 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 ever want to hear anyone get pissed off about an athlete disrespecting our country and the national anthem because they kneel. Because the worst people on the planet about the national anthem is the media. End of story. They are the most disrespectful when it comes to the national anthem. And I see it time and time again. Nick, you've been with me when we've seen it. Like, I've talked about it before, but it happened again last night. During the national anthem, how hard is it for a media member to just stand up? You don't have to put your hand over your heart. You don't have to sing. You just stand there. Just stand still. But every time I see media members do it, last night, some guy was eating.
See, that's just...
He's eating and drinking during the national anthem. He's standing.
Did you know him?
Yeah.
I would have called him out. I would have just said something to the person.
I mean,
it's one thing to be on your phone. I mean, you get mad when they're just looking on their phone.
I've seen baseball writers typing their column during the national anthem or typing.
I think eating is way worse.
I agree.
I've seen media members texting during the national anthem. Eating was the worst because I'm like, bro, you couldn't wait. What was it, 2 minutes? You had 2 minutes. This is your third trip. I know you're not hungry because this is your third trip.
Yeah, that's...
So, like, I never, ever, ever want to hear a media member say it ever again. We're the worst. We're the absolute worst. So, and to answer your question, I didn't know. I met him.
Oh.
So I didn't know him until that night. I was texting Nick about him.
Oh, but yeah. Especially...
Nick knows him.
He
knows
him.
That dude looks
too.
Like he doesn't cut his toenails.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Yeah,
because it was even worse during the playoffs because you get the national media and then you see these people that are prominent, that are front and center, that people, because of social media, know the name. They may not know the face.
Yeah.
But then you're even more apt to go, dude, you're working for a ESPN or this or that, and you're going to do that?
Yeah.
Some BS. Let's get to the real crux of what was important last night. You got racist on a mascot.
Yeah.
People calling your ass out because you deserve a lot of heat for this one.
I'm not done yet. I still got other things on my list. We'll get to that. That's on the list, but we'll get to that. But can we just discuss the fact that center field is a strip mall?
Is that the Hall of Fame?
No. You've got a wing bar. You've got a taco stand.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you got a place to get your hair cut, a place to buy stuff.
No.
Like, shop.
Not a haircut.
Yeah, there is.
Is there really?
Absolutely.
Center field is a strip mall.
Yeah.
At Minute Maid Park now.
That's been going on for a couple seasons, by the way.
But
the whole haircut
slowly
thing.
Building.
Really?
I mean, but it started off there was just a haircut and a bar or a place. Now there's a bar. There's two restaurants, a taco bar. There's a place to buy gear. Like, you can actually go and buy clothes. You can go shopping. It's a strip mall. And center field is what it is now.
Now, two questions.
That's where we're at.
The shopping one, that's the one where they do the high price stuff that you and I saw, Nick.
Yeah, like the bat.
Yeah, and the game worn stuff where they charge 85 times more. But the haircuts, is it an actual on the walkway or is it the
like
one on the ledge there?
Sport cuts or super cuts or something? I don't
know
what it is.
I didn't see an actual store.
It used to
be like a booth that was similar to like a boot shining booth, you know? Yeah.
But couldn't you like get your hair cut while watching the game? Because they did the Rockets did something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was just noticing, I'm sitting there in the press box and I was looking out there and I was like, damn, center field's busy. What's going on? There's like so much stuff. And then I realized there's a patio, a restaurant, a bar, a taco stand, a wing place, so a place to go shopping for clothes. There's a haircut. I was like, it's a God blessed strip mall. That's what it is. It's really a strip mall.
And I haven't gone to a home game yet, so I wonder if they fixed the whole Torchy's Tacos and the burger spot issue because they are overwhelmed.
Long lines,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man. They could, all they have to do is add a few more grills, and they could probably save themselves.
I'll tell you what,
a line. They don't have enough grills.
If they didn't, or in any issues that you saw, one thing I have noticed is if you tweet at Reed Ryan, the president of the Astros, he responds. Because the other night, someone in the Yankee series tweeted out, seriously, there's a big rally going on, and we get reprimanded by security and ushers for standing up when Altuve came to the plate. And Reed Ryan responded, give me the section and the row and all the information. And that you'd like to see because at least from a customer service perspective, they're paying attention.
Yeah, I do think that's a dangerous path to go on. It's because it could get pretty overwhelming, I think, if he continues. But good for him. If he really continues to do that.
You know where he got that? Minor League Baseball. Because they're so worried about every fan in Minor League Baseball that their customer service is over the top.
Speaking of rallies and stuff, there's nothing I realized last night sitting there. Because in the press box, it's all open. So you can hear the whole thing. It's not like at the Texans game where you're behind glass and you're kind of in a cage. It's open. And I realized there's nothing sadder than start the chant guy when it doesn't happen. It's just him going, let's go Astros! And then no one else does it. And he keeps doing it. It's kind of like, have you ever seen someone try to get the wave going?
I was just
going to
say, that's the other one. Yep.
It's to me, it's the funniest thing, but it's like, God, bro, you needed that attention so bad. So bad. And no one gave it to you. There's 27,000 people here. And they were all like, sit down. You suck. No one wants to do your chant.
What was the score at the time?
It was close. I mean, I think it was seventh inning. It wasn't like, I was just like, wow. Because usually they'll start it on the, like, you'll see Let's Go Astros and they'll do the duh, 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 or whatever to get you start chanting it. This guy was just like, no, it's time. It's time to go Astros. Let's go. Let's get it going. And I was just like, bro, you have to feel, I bet his wife was like, Harold, sit down. You look like an idiot right now. You're up chanting. No one else is chanting right now. It has to be embarrassing.
What's worse, that or with your wave guy? The wave guy normally isn't shirt tucked in, has a gut. When he's pulling his hands in the air, it's sliding out.
I don't know. I would feel like that's like the chant version of no one giving you a high five when you put your hand up. I just feel like you just got left hanging there so bad. I felt bad for him. I didn't see who it was, but I just heard it. You could hear one guy desperately trying to get the Let's Go Astros chant. And he tried. He hit five times in a row. He just did it. And he was like, well, I guess we're not doing this right now.
About that time you go home.
Yeah. Like, you've probably had too much and you're annoying anyways, but it was a fun-filled night. And yes, I was racist.
Yeah, you got called out for it, too.
Yes. I had a Steve Harvey moment. I announced the wrong winner of Miss Universe. Because I took a picture of Orbit, and I don't know why, but I tweeted out, Clutch is out here hunting for fingers. And I meant Orbit was out here, but I did it. And then Timo was like, yeah, no, bro, that's Orbit. And I was like, oh. And, you know, you can't edit on Twitter. Mm-mm. There's no edit.
Nope.
You got killed, didn't you?
Yeah.
And there's no redo button, so it's out there.
I mean, I could have deleted it, but that's a whole move. So I just left it. I owned it. I was like, this is my Steve Harvey moment. I just called Orbit Clutch, and then I got called racist because not all mascots look alike. And it was rough for me. That took a big L on that one. I took a big, big L. So
we all know Clutch is the guy that beat up Joel.
Yep, twice.
Who's better, Clutch or Orbit?
Clutch.
Joel, really? Joel could probably answer that question better. I don't know.
Orbit's pretty good, man. Orbit is a really good mascot. He's really funny.
He's gotten a lot better. Used to be that he just kind of sat there, took pictures, and didn't do a lot of the stunt kind of things.
But all the stuff on the field,
yeah,
and
now
running around naked and all that.
I think he's definitely
naked for the mascot.
I think he's definitely come a long way.
I think he's better than that stupid ass rabbit they had.
Junction Jack.
That was awful. That was awful.
Really
I don't know what a rabbit had anything to do with the Astros. Of course, at least Orbit is space related.
Dude,
a rabbit? A rabbit.
Can either one of them tie the shoes of Bobby Dynamite?
Who's Bobby Dynamite?
You don't know who Bobby Dynamite is?
That's the dude in the train.
Yeah.
With
the overalls.
He gets a lot of love for driving a train that's really not a train and doesn't work.
Remember we were going to have him on after they showed him the play or something like that?
No.
And he said we had to go through the Astros PR like that.
Go through my people. I was like, bro, you and that train full of pumpkins can back it up out the station. I'm not going through your people. I don't think so. You're not that important. I'd rather get nobody follow me in the chant guy. Come on now.
I'm with
you. Try to big league us because you wear overalls and drive pumpkins on a track back and forth.
Bobby Dynamite's going to be exclusive on
790. Yeah. Like, we locked him up. Can't have him either.
No more. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Just getting started. Hey, if there's something you want to get in on early in the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call or text that number. Hit us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at The Producer Nick. And again, 3 o'clock hour, we are going to have Mike Golick from formerly of the Mike and Mike show. Now, in the mornings, he and Trey Wingo. We'll have him on for a segment. And of course, Astro's girl, Taryn Hilo is going to join us. That should be good as well. It's all part of the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Just getting started on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio as Barry was giving us a little bit of a background on his night at the ballpark last night. On top of that, you saw a pretty damn good game.
It was lots of action. Jose Altuve, second home run or two home run night, fourth of the series, has five all year and hit four of them versus the Yankees.
Yeah, he's on fire. Yankee the bats killer. Have definitely awakened to be perfectly solid in big time situations. I was a little worried last night. Josh James brought to you by Kingsford, the lighter fluid and the charcoal, because boy, he got a little bit
of his struggles continue.
Yeah. And then Rondon didn't help. Thank God for Ryan Pressly.
Yeah. That's looking like money well spent because you know, they've really been using, Osuna quite a lot this year. And rightfully so. You get you a bona fide legitimate closer and you're going to use him. You worry about overusing him, but you got to win these games when you have the opportunity, especially if you scuffled out of the gate. So he was shut down last night. So Ryan Pressly comes in for the four out save and gets it and looks good in the process. And I found it interesting that of all the stuff that went on last night, all the scoring and the home runs and everything, 790 gave him their player of the game.
Gave who the player of the game?
Ryan Pressly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he got his first save, four out save, and that's great. But damn, you look at the offense that was put up against a pretty good Yankee staff. They put up eight runs again, a large amount on one of the best rotations and bullpens in baseball.
Against a guy who's had the Astros number and has been Astros killer.
Put five up on him in four innings, yeah.
So touched that was big.
Touched up the bullpen for three more, so... Yeah, it was a good night all around, except for Josh James. He was the lone sad spot. His ERA now, 7.88. Not worried about him. He's young. He'll be fine. He'll figure it out. Don't be surprised if you see him get sent down.
Oh, they made they sent Framber Valdez down about an hour ago.
Yeah, well, but don't be surprised if Josh James is next. Go figure it out for a couple days, and then he'll, you know, get it worked out and be back up.
Plus, they're in a position of luxury to do that right now because with all the days off, as we mentioned in the past, they don't need Peacock right now as a starter, so he'll slide it to long relief in the pen, so you have the luxury of maybe bringing up an extra bat and sending either one or both those guys down. So interesting to see how that plays out. I did want to get back to what you said, too, about Gertrude Greenfield.
Okay.
That was the 102? 101. 101-year-old lady that was Brent Strom's mother-in-law.
Uh-huh.
Altuve caught that pitch, and that's her favorite player. But her quote, "He's my favorite boy. I feel like a mother to him. I'm in spirit with him every game."
Nice.
But she got it there, right? So
she did. It was the best one of all. Good luck if you're 101. Hell, I would be happy just to be out of bed. She is on the field throwing a baseball to a major leaguer. It's pretty badass. So
see all these people that are over 100, most of them, you're right, they look like they're just death warmed over. When you got someone that's that active that's still doing those kind of things, it's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, good for her. The others, it was all right.
So six in a row.
Huh?
Six in a row is good.
Yep.
Everybody pressing that panic button after the Rangers and Rays series needs to kind of step back. The other thing that I really thought was interesting was everybody was worried about the rotation, and they were particularly worried about 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5 has been outstanding. Colin McHugh was fantastic last night.
Yeah, he's pitched well. I mean, you kind of expected it from him. You expected this whole rotation to be good, but you just weren't, except for Miley. I think that was my one big question mark, is what are you going to get from Wade Miley week in and week out, or start in and start out? And but everything else you kind of knew. But, yeah, it's good to see McHugh picking up where he left off last year, and same thing with Brad Peacock.
Yeah, and you know, and Peacock, everybody was saying about his last outing, it wasn't great, but you take away the ball that hit the girder in the rafters and became a fair ball that ended up scoring two right away in the first inning and kind of opened the gates a little bit, he wouldn't be nearly as bad. And when I say bad, it's not that bad at all. When his ERA is in the fours, you know, so that's nothing to be panicked about. And again, Cole has struggled. He's 0-2. Verlander experimenting with some pitches, hasn't gone off to the start that, you know, the fans would have liked, but I think both those guys, nothing to worry about. You're no Chris Sale. Chris Sale's now 0-3 with a 9 ERA.
Yeah, I mean, Peacock, that first game, you saw what he's capable of. He almost go 7 innings
in
the 1-2 run.
Yep.
Dominant. You're going to scuffle a little bit. I'm not worried about that last start. They still won the game. Like you said, there was some fluky stuff that went on. So it's good to see that the rotation early on is in good shape, because that was, to me, was the question mark coming in. You knew this team was going to hit, so I don't think anything they're doing at the plate is surprising.
No, and Brantley got, you know, he was struggling early. Now he's over 300. He's hitting it really well. Correa looks completely healthy, and he's settled in to where he is really ripping the cover off of it. Bregman, you just worry about the injury, but by all accounts, last night on the broadcast, he gets the day off today. He may or may not be in the lineup Friday, but they would expect him to be there by Saturday. So, good, you know, who would have thought? First series against the Mariners is a big deal because they've only lost 2 games. They're like 11-2, but you can get right on them as well and make up some ground in the division.
Yeah, it's crazy. You have a great homestand, and you sweep the Yankees and the division rival A's. You win 6 in a row, and you're still 3.5 back of the Mariners.
Yeah.
They jumped out there, man.
The 12 Mariners. 12-2,
won again, 9-1 in their last 10, 5 in a row. I'm surprised. I still think they'll fade. They might be the Clippers. You know, they're the Clippers. They might. I mean, they might get a wild card, but I think that they're going to fade. And the Astros team is just too loaded to be to not win that division compared to everybody else. Angels scuffling a little bit, but they're still winning. They're just giving up a lot of runs in the process.
Now Trout's got a groin issue.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, it's still early, of course. And just like we said, don't push the panic button after 2 series when they were losing. Don't get overly overzealous now, but it looks like they're righting the ship after 6 in a row.
You've seen this Chris Davis fiasco, 0-50, right?
Yeah.
0-50 in his first 50 at bats.
Yeah.
What's worse, that or Trevor Rosenthal?
I'm telling you, man.
The 10 he faced, reached safely. His ERA was infinity.
Infinity. I was going to say, when's
the last
time?
Until he got a guy out.
Anytime you've seen a pitcher whose ERA is infinity.
Yeah, and not just after one batter or one inning or whatever. Yeah, he had faced 10 guys. All 10 guys reached an ERA of infinity. Finally got a guy out, lowered his ERA to 72. So I ask you, what's worse, being a hitter going 0-50? Or being a pitcher that the first 10 guys you face get on base and you don't get an out and your ERA is infinity.
And then after you get an out, you blow up and give up like another run and load the bases and do all these things?
Yeah. What's worse? Would you rather be – actually not what's worse. Who would you rather be right now?
That's easy.
Would you rather be Trevor Rosenthal or would you rather be Chris Davis?
I'm going to rather be Chris Davis because I know I got 68 mil still coming to me. I've made 100 and whatever million on this deal and – whether I swing and miss or line a ball into center field, I'm getting paid.
Yeah. I mean, Trevor Rosenthal's career ERA is a 3.20, though. He's not bad.
And here's the other thing. They said in the velocity, he was up about 100 miles an hour after having, Tommy John surgery. So you know that his arm is live.
Yeah, he missed all of last year.
Yeah, he's just got to get right. So I still, Chris Davis, I'm taking the cash.
Yeah, I'm probably with you. Plus an 0-50. The harder, to me, that's the harder part. The harder of the two is to hit the baseball.
Chris Davis isn't going to Hall of Fame, right? We agree on that?
No.
So at least he'll be remembered for something besides just money.
That's true.
He's in the record book.
Speaking of money, man, if you like money, GetUpside is the thing. That's where you want to be. That's the play right there. You need to download GetUpside to your phone. It's completely free. You don't have to pay a dime for it. You know, some apps charge you just to buy them. Nope. It's totally free. Download it to your phone, and then it gives you cash back. That's it. That's its sole job. Its sole purpose in life is to give you cash back on stuff you're already paying for, like gas and food. Here's what you do. First of all, when you download it, put in promo code Barry. When you sign up, that's going to save you even more money on your first fill up. And this is gas and food, restaurants and gas stations. And not just some places you've never heard of. I'm talking Shell, Exxon, Wendy's, Popeyes, Burger King. They're all in the app, and they're all offering you some sort of cash back. Somebody texted the show yesterday, said they got 35% cash back at the Wendy's that's near them. That's a lot of cash back in your pocket. Why would you not want to get that? You don't pay anything. You get your money. All you got to do is pay with a debit or credit card, upload your receipt. You're going to get your money back within 24 hours. It's that simple. Use promo code Barry, and on your first fill up at the Shells or Exxons or whatever it is you choose, you're going to get a bonus cash back the first time you fill up. So don't forget promo code Barry, and you're already getting up to 25 cents a gallon at 500 gas stations around the city. I keep telling you about up to 35% cash back at restaurants around the city. We got listeners that are getting that. So the offers change, which is what's cool about it, is if you don't like an offer today that's at the Wendy's near your work, you check tomorrow. It might go up, it might go down, but it's always something different for you to choose from. Always something in your area as well. It's a fantastic app. ABC 13 featured it, so there's really no reason not to use it unless you just hate money. If you don't like having money or getting money back on stuff you're paying for, I don't know what to tell you. But GetUpside is the play, y'all. GetUpside, promo code Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Half hour down, hour number one, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We always appreciate you taking us along for the ride, business, pleasure, and otherwise on a Thursday. 3 o'clock hour, we've got a couple guests, Mike Golick via the phone. Taryn Hilo will join us, otherwise known as Astro's Girl at 3:30 in studio, so that'll be good as well. And then tomorrow we will have an FEF Friday with another guest.
Yeah, Billy D. Washington will be joining us for a couple segments to chop it up, talk comedy, sports, and life. So not as hot as Taryn, but you know,
not even close.
Funnier, no. He's funnier,
probably. Yeah. Definitely funnier. Actually. Definitely.
Have you ever seen Taryn do stand up?
Well, that's a valid point.
Just throwing it out there.
We'll have to ask.
Imagine if
ever...
she went on one of Billy D's naked cruises and did comedy.
Well, she would kill. Apparently, she's. I had no idea about this. I'm gonna. Hopefully, if she has time, because she's got a sick pup, so yep. She may not be able to stay. But I've been trying to get her on my podcast to interview her about going viral as Astro's Girl. So of course, I'm doing my research. It's not stalking if you interview him. First of all, let's be real about this. All right. But I found out she was like bullied and as a kid. But she's also, like, she got a 1300 on her SAT in the eighth grade.
Smart.
Super smart.
She's
way
doing,
smarter than any of us.
You know, last time we had her on the show, she talked about started a new business with software to do
legal
work for companies.
She developed a portal for lawyers.
Yep.
That just sounds fancy. A portal for lawyers. That's just, like, the intelligent stuff. So, yeah, it should be fun. Somebody had a question for you, though, on the text line.
Okay.
I don't have a choice between listening to you and watching Tiger at the Masters on my phone. Joel, what would you do?
Oh, my God. I'd be listening to The Usual Suspects because I can always go back and get whatever I missed via the recaps and the replays of the broadcast on television.
Okay.
It's easy. Because my first answer was, what we used to always tell people was, just turn the volume down on the Masters and listen. But because you mentioned that they're on the phone, then...
That's your real answer or just that's the company line?
Well, that's my first of all, for our show's sake, life. I want people to listen to our damn show.
Well, I would suggest we have podcasts. So you can watch the Masters and then go listen on the podcast. That's
a dumb idea.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry, long story short, my wife ruined my Welcome to the Land shirt. Can you open up the store so I can buy another one? Store never closed. I just left it up there. I had originally only done them as exclusives, and then people kept asking and asking, and I was like, you know what? It doesn't cost me any overhead to keep it up. So I just left it up. If you want, I will, at Barry is Funny on Twitter, I'm going to tweet out a link to get you there the easiest way. Because the actual URL to the store is pretty long. It's like teespring.com/ whatever. So I'm just going to tweet a URL that's a lot shorter version that'll get you to the store if you want one of the shirts. So they're up. And I think I actually have the hoodie still up too, if you want to grab one of those. So at Barry is Funny on Twitter if you want it. There you go.
So... you were at the game last night.
Yep.
Did you peep any of the festivities in the NBA and the craziness that would ensue in the final night of the regular season?
I got lucky. I left in the eighth inning, got home, and was lucky enough to be able to watch the end of the Nuggets game and watch the end of the Blazers game. I don't know what the hell happened in that Blazers game other than the fact that the Kings were taking dumb shots and not making them. And it was like the Blazers were down
20 in the first something. Half, 15 in the fourth quarter.
And still come back and win that game. And I got to be honest with you, and I don't know how you guys felt, but as a lifelong Rockets fan, as a guy that I remember the 80s games against the Celtics. I remember 80. I remember, you know, all the way back. I was more upset watching Denver come back and Portland come back, or I should say the Kings collapse. And who did the Nuggets play?
Minnesota.
And Minnesota collapse. I was more upset about that than I was watching the Rockets lose to the Thunder.
I just kind of expected all of what happened last night because of what happened in the Rockets' final game. I hate saying it. I guess it's so Houston, not just so Rockets. But having lived through enough of those myself, too, once the Rockets gave away the golden opportunity to be the 2 seed, I thought, well, there's just no doubt. No matter what happens, tomorrow night, Portland's winning, Denver's winning, and the Rockets are going to be the 4 seed.
That's why I keep saying, man, you got to have more players scoring at least 10 points in that fourth quarter. I really believe that.
But you can't have 3, Nick, because in the NBA, you're not averaging 30 points a quarter. So 3 double-figure scorers in the fourth quarter, it might be hard to accomplish. I can see two guys really good in double figures.
Yeah. I mean, it's just if James Harden has to do it by himself in the fourth quarter, that's when I feel like those fourth quarter blowups are going to happen. And when every time you feel like they have great momentum going into the second half and you wonder where the steam went, you're like, okay, look at the stat sheet. James Harden is the only person scoring. And it just aggravates me.
I was going to say, I will say this about Denver, not to get off track because I know you got, but watching that game, you guys are right. They're vulnerable.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That offense, I mean, it's Jokic or nothing, and if his shot's not falling, and he's the one, I mean, he ran a break on several occasions, and I was like, what is going on? You guys are right. They were not impressive. I mean, they didn't play a great Minnesota team, but they just weren't that impressive to be a 2 seed. They hung on. They won, and they earned it, but...
factor in Carl Anthony Towns was a late scratch, too. So it's not like he's going up against the best Minnesota had to offer either. Yeah. And he really is their only option. For everybody that bangs on the Rockets with Harden, I mean, Denver, for as good as some of the role players are, i.e. Murray and guys like that, they run everything through their big man. And if you want to shut them down, that's the easiest way to do so. But you had mentioned the Portland game. Great season for the Kings for the most part, right? They were in the playoff mix.
They were in the hunt.
They were, you know,
last of the eliminated teams to be eliminated.
Close to 40-win season as opposed to not getting more than 31, I think, in the last 10, 15 years. Dave Yeager was fired today as coach of the Kings. You can't tell me that some of that didn't have to do with the fact that what they did last night was like another so Kings thing to do that they were just like, okay.
Awful.
Yeah, so he's fired. So if you missed
He deserves it.
There you go.
Costs the Rockets a...
So if you missed all the matchups, Rockets opening up with Utah. Jeff Van Gundy was just on Charlie Polillo's show, called it the toughest first-round draw in the playoffs. You buying that?
Yes.
Are you?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm
buying Portland getting the toughest first round draw with home court advantage with the Thunder. Yep.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I want to go back in real quick, but yeah, you're probably right. If it's Blazers, Thunder, yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. Blazers probably have it the roughest.
Yeah, and from a Golden State perspective, we were sitting here for the last couple of days contemplating how great it would be if they got the Thunder in the first round, then had another tough second round, or the Rockets could get them after they were beat up a little bit. They get the Clippers.
I'm going to shoot my shot right now.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
I'm sticking with what I said.
Someone's going to beat them?
Someone's going to beat the Warriors. And check this out. In the bottom half of the bracket, you've got Blazers, Thunder, mm-hmm. right? The 3-6 matchup, and Nuggets, Spurs. And neither of those two teams, I think, are scaring people, Nuggets, Spurs. I think winner of the Blazers, Thunder matchup is probably who advances to the Western Conference Finals. Would you agree?
Say that again.
Winner of the Blazers, Thunder matchup probably advanced to the Western Conference Finals because they would either, whoever wins that, Blazers, Thunder, have to face the Nuggets or the Spurs.
Fair enough.
Okay. So you could potentially see the Thunder come out of that bottom half of the bracket, who I think that's what will happen. I think the Thunder will beat the Blazers, and then I think they'll beat the winner of the Nuggets-Spurs, who I think will be the Nuggets. So I already am putting Thunder in the Western Conference Finals. I'm going to stick with what I said about the Rockets beat the Warriors because we talked about the fact that you're getting them early, not late, healthier than worrying about Chris Paul's hamstring getting blown by the Western Conference Finals. You could be looking at a Rockets-Thunder Western Conference Finals. That would be a lot of fun.
It would be. And parity in the league is just so great. I mean, yeah. Everybody's just seen, you and I have talked about this ad nauseum, how as good as you think LeBron has been, the fact that it's just consistently Warriors-Cavs, Warriors-Cavs.
Yep.
It gets old, and to have some fresh new blood in there and have some exciting, compelling matchups now that the East has gotten a little better would be fun. I disagree with Van Gundy in the fact that I don't think that the Rockets are going to have any problem at all with Utah.
Really?
Yeah, I think 5 games max.
Oh, wow. You got it as a 5-game series, huh?
I really do.
Okay.
Nick?
I can see it go 6, but I would have said 6, but I can see 5 too. I'm not really worried about this Utah Jazz team. And like in years past, I have. I was more worried about going up against Utah, but this year no. I don't. Got?
Rockets. I have Rockets Thunder in the Western Conference.
I know what you got Rockets in.
Oh, I can see 6.
Yeah.
Yeah,
The only reason why I think that they might have any issues is because we talked about it. From a matchup perspective, Eric Gordon's got to step up his game
mm-hmm.
because they have, I think, the better role players. But one of those guys has to just step up, and that would be enough to carry them in this series because we've already said Capella, Gobert, whether you put Mitchell and Harden, and then Paul gets a big advantage with Ricky Rubio. I just think if Gordon shows up at all, I think the Rockets roll.
Yeah, I'm with you. The X factor is how well does Capella hold up against Rudy Gobert, and are you Kenneth Faried, is he going to play, and what does he do, and Nene, is he going to be healthy enough? Because that's what worries me. Donovan Mitchell, obviously, but the big thing is you can change the Rockets' offense if you have a stopper in the middle.
Did you see the wild card for the Jazz defensively last night?
Grayson Allen?
No. We'll talk about
it. He's so Utah, bro.
Oh,
I'm watching the Utah game. I'm just going, Grayson Allen is the most Utah Jazz to have ever existed. He's just so Jazz.
And did you hear? We'll get to this too. But Bill Walton saw him play last night and called him Kyle Korver. It's just so Walton. All right, so we got plenty to get to. But that secret weapon on defense. An ex-Rocket trying to help out the Jazz?
Oh.
We'll talk about that, too. Right. Coming up next, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Never did I know I could get this low. I could get this low for you.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number one, 3 hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You guys take us on the go. We appreciate you. FEF Friday tomorrow. Reminder, 3 o'clock hour. Mike Golick and Taryn Hilo, otherwise known as Astros Grill, both going to join us. During a segment or two of the show, so that'll be fun. We were talking a little bit about the Rockets getting ready for the Jazz and the playoffs. Interesting, because you were catching up on some games and things, but Nick and I were talking about this. There's a lot of fun going on social media. Right after the game last night, the Clippers played the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Beverley looked to be doing an impromptu teaching session to Jay Crowder on how to stop one James Harden, which everybody had a field day with, but it was like, really? I mean, and I've told you guys in the past, Jay Crowder was one of those guys that liked to try and play the head games with Harden, be extra physical with Harden, mm-hmm. walk into a huddle to try and challenge Harden. But really, Jay Crowder's going to stop James Harden?
Well, and like Patrick Beverley is the smartest man on the NBA planet and no one else knows what he knows. Believe me when I tell you there are plenty of intelligent coaches and players in this league that think they know how to stop James Harden. But doing it and knowing it is two completely different things. And you may have all the skill set that you require to be able to stop him, but then you have to go out and do it. And then you have to outsmart James, because that's the beauty of his game. Is you might take away his swipe through, he's got the step back. He can go to his left. He can go to his right. Oh, and don't forget, he can run the pick and roll with Capella. He can distribute the ball to the corners for a 3-point shot. There are a lot of facets to his game, because that video, you just see him talking about the swipe through and how to avoid that or stop it or whatever. There's so much more to James Harden's game than just that.
I mean, when you think just about that. It, you saw certain teams that tried to force him double team at the half court line. But the bottom line is, you're talking about a whole bunch of tactics to try and stop tendencies. You're taking out the fact that he's got a hell of a lot of ability.
Yeah.
His control of the ball when he's dribbling, his ability to shoot so many different shots, totally head and shoulders outweigh finessing the system with the way he draws fouls or gets you into foul situations with the hand down, man down, or the Euro step. So it ain't that easy, but I found it very humorous that everybody was like, ooh, he's giving them insight that's going to really help the Jazz. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that.
Chris Davis on Twitter, when we were talking Rockets Jazz, he was like, I think people forget how Capella continues to outplay Gobert in matchups. I mean, I can't remember specifically, but I can tell you that the numbers don't say that.
I would agree that he is doing better against Gobert now. I think he did better against him this season than last season. Last season, he had a problem with his size.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Clint tends to have that problem sometimes. If he's going up against a guy that's big and fast, sometimes he has problems with it.
Yeah. So one game Capella didn't play of the four games against the Jazz, and one game Gobert only played 3 minutes. I don't remember what that was.
I think he got tossed. Wasn't that with the thing at the score stable?
Yeah. So we won't count those. So the two games that both guys did play, in the first one, Gobert, 12 points, 13 rebounds. He was a plus 15 while on the floor. Clint Capella, 10 points, 12 rebounds, a minus 16. I wouldn't say that's outplaying. If you just want to look at the numbers and not the plus minus, that's a wash. No one outplayed anyone in that game. And in the second game, Gobert, 18 points, 13 rebounds, a plus 13. Clint Capella, 5 points, 14 rebounds, a minus 4. No different than really what it was last year.
Yeah,
he may have had a play here and a play there where you thought, oh, he showed flashes of being better than Rudy Gobert. He didn't outplay Rudy Gobert this year. I'm sorry.
I think he just does better with size now. He does better with size than he ever has. But he did not play him for sure.
Is it just me, or is he still not dunking the ball when he can't? No. How many times do I have to watch Clint Capella miss a wide-open shot at the bucket? How many times do I have to watch him blow a layup because he refuses to dunk the ball or goes up soft and just misses a shot? It's still really frustrating.
He lacks that aggressive card.
Killer instinct.
Yeah, and that step-on-your-throat mentality. But also, Nick, define bigger guys for me, because I think when you talk about a taller guy, I think he plays better, but I think he's still a long ways away from being a guy that can defend a Nurkic or a Jokic. Or, you know, or even a Marc Gasol type when he's playing decently. I think, like, physical size and weight bother him more. I think Gobert's a good matchup for him, because the one thing about Gobert is he's not offensively gifted. He's a guy that, much like Clint in a lot of ways, gets a majority of his offense off of putbacks, dunks, pick and rolls. So I don't think that it's that difficult because Clint is so good at least going straight up and down, staying vertical, and being able to challenge shots. That's why he can defend. So that's why I'm not really worried about him with Gobert. If Gobert was a guy that could put you on the block and they were consistently dumping it down to him and he had a couple of moves here and there that were unstoppable, I'd say that'd be a big issue. I just don't see it as that big of an issue because I think they're very similar the way they play and the game that they have.
And the other thing is, a lot of times it's not the center that's guarding Clint that's stopping Clint or minimizing his offense. It's a lot of other players on the team that's stopping him on those pick and rolls, preventing him from driving or running in the paint and allowing Harden to throw up that lob. That's sometimes it's not just the person he's facing that's stopping Clint Capela. Sometimes it's a strategic defensive approach by the team, and they're stopping him from getting to the bucket.
Or he's stopping himself because he's blowing the layup or the shot and not dunking the ball. I'm with you though. They are very similar in the way that they're not proactive on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
They're reactive. They're getting a alley-oop or they're going up for a rebound and getting the putback or something like that. But they're not the offense doesn't flow through them either way, unless the Rockets are running the pick and roll. But
Utah in a lot of ways is a poor man's Rockets. They rely on Donovan Mitchell to create. They rely on Donovan Mitchell to score. And then when he faces double teams or help defense that comes and cuts him off penetrating, then he's expected to kick out to guys that are supposed to make shots.
The one thing I think that they're better than the Rockets in that regard is defensively. They're a better defensive team.
Yeah, they're a very tight defensive unit, so that's good. And here's the other thing. We talk about Capela, his roles to the basket and all those things. From a defensive standpoint, as good as they are, you have to make choices. And when Harden's on the move like that with the pick and roll, you either got to stick with James or you got to help off on Clint and hope that, you know, either the pass is bad or he gets help defense from the weak side. That's where Utah is, and just like every team in the league, is going to be challenged because the decision-making process of a defense and the reactionary weak side has to come over so quick to help that the Rockets just attack them, and you can't react quick enough to take both James and Clint when they go to the basket. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, was it the ideal matchup for them? No, but am I happy it wasn't the Thunder? Yeah, I think that they should dispose of the Jazz rather easily, but we'll see how it plays out. By the way, and the Walton stuff, and I didn't load the audio, but he literally last night, because Ralph Lawler did his last game for the Clippers as the play-by-play on TV, mm-hmm. and Walton used to work with him, he brought Gentleman Jack for Ralph on the air. He bought him a bottle of booze,
mm-hmm.
and then right away he's sitting in, and Ralph, one of the great ones right off the top was, they were Ralph was talking about, I forget, one of the Jazz players as a great two-way player. And he goes, is that his sexual orientation, Ralph?
Mm.
I was like, at that point, you should have just said, Bill, we're done.
Mm.
Just step away from the mic.
Yeah.
So, all right, 1 hour in the books, 2 hours still to go. Big third hour with two guests heading up that whole thing. So stick with us. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 975. You're going through a top one. If you don't listen,
stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.